How many words have you spoken in your lifetime? How many words have you spoken in your lifetime? Have you kept track of that? From mama, dada, all the way up to the present? You've probably spoken a lot of words in your life. Now, one of you is going to come up to me after the service and say, Chris, you've probably spoken a lot more than the rest of us. And to that, I would agree. I do tend to talk a lot. But we've spoken a lot of words in our lifetime. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I want to talk about the 10 most important words that you will ever say. Out of all the things that you've said in your life or that you need to say, I want to talk about the 10 most important words you will ever say. Those 10 words are, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It doesn't matter what you say in life, none of it matters until you say those 10 words. Now you stop and think about that. All of the things that you would like to say or have said or could say, it really boils down to that with regard to our eternal salvation. And I know that if you'll look again at our scripture reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Did you notice that when Levi was reading that passage of scripture that Paul ties the good confession to eternal life? This is very important. I charge thee in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot and without reproach. But what did he say before that in verse 12? Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on life eternal. Look at this. Life eternal, whereunto you were called and did confess the good confession. Life eternal is tied to being called by the gospel and confessing the good confession. That's why I know that it's the 10 most important words you will ever say. This morning I want to talk about what it means to be confessing the good confession. And this morning I want to talk about why is the good confession called the good confession? Why is it good? I'm glad that you're here this morning. We appreciate those who are visiting, those who regularly worship here. And I hope that we will have a message from God's Word that will encourage us. Notice that Paul says it's not a good confession, but the good confession. We confess a lot of things in life. There's a lot of things we confess. But this confession is different. And so this morning I want us to see from God's Word what it means to confess the good confession and why is it good. And it boils down to this, brethren, we just sang about it. It boils down to being on the Lord's side and being willing to identify with Jesus in a world that doesn't want Him, but you are willing to do that and get your children to do that, and we have eternal life. Now, before we look at the good confession this morning, I want to clear up three misconceptions about confessing Christ. First of all, it's not merely saying certain words. We need to say these words, but just saying the words by themselves is not confessing the good confession. We need to say words, but the words themselves are not some magical potion that when we say them, something magically happens. There has to be a mindset and a lifestyle that goes with those words. So number one, the good confession is not just saying 10 words. You could say those 10 words and it wouldn't mean anything apart from obedience to Christ. So number one, it's not just merely saying some words. Number two, it's not merely the acknowledgement of some truth. We could acknowledge the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we could just mentally acknowledge that, but that wouldn't necessarily mean that we're right with God. As I said a minute ago, it involves our obedience to God's word as well. And number three, and this was a misconception that I had early in my life, and that is that the good confession, and for those of us here this morning who are members of the Lord's church, it's not merely a one-time step of obedience that is done right before baptism. We're to be confessing the good confession today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Do you remember when I was little, some brethren would describe the plan of salvation this way. You believe in the pew, you repent in the aisle as you're coming up forward, you confess up front, and then you're baptized in the baptistry. You ever heard it that way? Now, whether someone was serious about that or not, I don't know, but it's not just you believe in the pew and you repent by walking forward and you confess up here and then we baptize you. It's not like that. Confession begins there. And whether you do it here or sometimes you may have done it right before you were baptized, you were in the baptistry when you said it, or maybe you said it here. It begins there, but brethren, it's a daily life. It's a daily living where we are identifying with Jesus. Yes, when we're at school and the pressure's on us. And yes, when we're at work and we're around the foul mouth or some other ungodly behavior. Yes, when we're with our neighbors in Walmart and Publix and whatever store we're in, we are saying, I am a Christian and I identify with Jesus. It's not a one-time step, brethren, of obedience that is done right before you're baptized. It begins there, but hopefully it continues every day thereafter. So this morning, let's talk about confessing the good confession, the 10 most important words you will ever say in your life. Because that's the very thing that we need to do to have eternal life. But what makes the good confession good? Number one, it's what you do. To confess simply means to say the same words that Jesus says. Confess. We have different con words, that prefix con, with convocation, to call together. Okay, confess. It means literally to speak the same thing, to agree with. When you confess Christ, brethren and friends, you stand with Christ. I'm glad we sang who is on the Lord's side. You stand with Christ. You make your allegiance with Him. You speak what He speaks when others are speaking other things. Brethren, confession is a unifying statement. It unifies us with Christ and other Christians who have made that statement. We're not in step with the world. We're not in step with the world. We are in step with Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. When Jesus was sending His disciples out to preach the word on what we call the limited commission before going on the great commission. They would undergo some troubles and trials and persecutions and tribulations along the way. There's going to be some difficult times along the way. And they're not to be afraid. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 10:32, the same word used when the Ethiopian eunuch made his confession in Acts 8, we'll talk about that later, in Timothy, the good confession, It's the same word and same concept. Jesus is telling his disciples, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men. This is not right before baptism. I don't have a problem quoting this passage in a sermon on the five steps of salvation. I don't mind quoting this passage and relating it to what you do before you're baptized. But that's not the setting here. The setting here is just daily living. And when you confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. We're going to close with that point later. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The good confession is good because of what you do. You identify yourself and your allegiance with Jesus Christ each and every day. And in Matthew 10:32, it's literally, whosoever shall confess in me. In me. In other words, on my side or in my case. I'm identifying with Jesus. So this week, I'm not going to go out and be embarrassed to be a Christian. I'm not going to be embarrassed to be a Christian when I'm at work and when I'm at school and I try to hide it and try to veil it and, you know, try to, fit in with the world and not be obvious that I'm different. No, I identify with Jesus. And that's who I am. Now, we don't do that in any kind of proud or arrogant or in-your-face kind of way. But at the same time, we have the courage and conviction to stand with Christ. Confession is the opposite of denial. Look in the very next verse, verse 33. Whosoever shall deny me. We're not going to deny. We're not going to deny what the Scripture says on various matters. We're not going to deny that. And there are things that the world says, well, this is not true. Marriage between one man and one woman. No, it can be two men or two women. We're not going to deny what the Scripture said about that or any other topic. We're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to be afraid. I'm wondering, brethren, today, I'm wondering if among some of the body of Christ, they're embarrassed. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I'm wondering if some of my preaching brethren are embarrassed to preach about the one true church. I wonder if some of my preaching brethren are embarrassed about God's plan of salvation. Confession is the good confession because of what we are doing and really what we're not doing. We are not going to deny the truths of Christ and His Word. And we're also going to identify with other Christians, other faithful brethren who do this very thing. When you confess, you state your deep convictions and beliefs. You're not uncertain about what you believe. You're not uncertain about the truths of God's Word. You have a deep conviction about what you believe because of the truths of that. I love that scripture reading around the Lord's table this morning. Fits in well. The centurion, the New American Standard says, standing right in front of him. Yeah, standing right in front of him. There's the truth. And this man was not necessarily a follower of Christ. He's a Roman centurion. But he recognized the truth of that matter. Standing right in front of him. And we're standing right in front of him. And the Roman centurion didn't say, oh, my fellow Roman centurions, they're going to laugh at me when we get back there to that fortress in Jerusalem where we all hang out and the guys are talking. They're going to poke fun at me. He didn't care about that. And I'm guessing that some Roman centurions and Roman soldiers could be pretty vulgar and ungodly would be my guess. Not stereotyping all present military acceptance. I bet it was a pretty rough lot. He didn't care about that. Truly, he was the Son of God. And so, brethren and friends, we need that same approach each and every day. The good confession is good because of what we do. It takes courage, young people, to stand for Christ. whether initially when we become a Christian or daily. And many do not want us to do that. Turn with me to John chapter 9 and verse 22. Many do not want you to stand with Christ because you need to stand with the world. Do you remember when John records the blind man that is healed by Jesus in John chapter 9? And the crowd, particularly the Pharisees, they want to talk to his parents. Verse 22, these things said his parents. Well, what did they say? Verse 21, but how he now sees we know not, or who opened his eyes we know not, ask him. He is of age, he shall speak for himself. Well, that sounded kind of noble on their part until you read the next verse. These things said his parents. Why? Because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man should confess him, same word, he should be put out of the synagogue. We're not going to stand with Christ. We might get thrown out of our little social circle. And people worry about that today. People worry about that today. I'm going to be thrown out of my little social circle at work. If I stand up for a truth that is found in the Word of God, if I speak up for truth, I'm going to be thrown out of my little social circle. So, well, you go talk to somebody else, I'm going to keep quiet. People don't want to stand for truth because they're more interested in their things of this life and their friends and family. Turn with me to John chapter 12. The same thing happens there in John chapter 12. And what I find interesting, brethren, is the very test the Jews used, let's see if they confess Christ or not, was the very thing that Jesus said you have to do. You have to confess me. John chapter 12. Nevertheless, verse 42, even of the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Oh, we're going to lose our friends, our social standing. It was good to go to the synagogue to worship, but this is above and beyond that. It's our little social circle that we're going to get kicked out of. There's no greater good, friends. It's called the good confession for a reason in 1 Timothy 6. And the reason it's called the good confession is there's no greater good than to stand with Jesus. Number two, it's called the good confession because of what you say. We're not confessing our personal experiences. We're not confessing how we feel. We're confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the first century, like today, there are many people who would poke fun at that. We confess with our mouth and before others that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. He's our Lord, meaning our Master. I live in America, and to the best of my ability, I follow the laws of the land. But ultimately, my Lord is Jesus. He's the one that guides me and rules me. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 that it is a condition or a step of being saved. Romans 10 verse 9, well-known passage. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, you underscore that in your Bible. I have to confess that Jesus is my Lord. And when He's truly my Lord, I will do what He says. I will not argue with Him. I will not ignore Him. I will not blow Him off. I will not kick the can down the road and sort of deal with Him later. I will obey Him in each and everything that I do in my life. What we're saying is that Jesus is my Lord and my Master. Everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior. Everybody likes that part. But Jesus needs to be my Lord. Keep reading. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto toward salvation. I absolutely have to do this in order to be saved. That's why it's the 10 most important words you will ever say. Or if you want to make it 11 and add the word Lord in there, or Son of the Living God, if you want to make it 12. My point is not 10. My point is these are the most important words you will say, and let us save them and identify with Jesus. Yes, it is something that we do after we believe and before we are baptized. That is true. It leads to salvation. It absolutely is that. But what exactly are we saying? We're saying that He's Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. When Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch, having heard Jesus, the text says he preached Jesus, but somehow they got to the subject of baptism. How is that? Well, when you preach Jesus, you preach the baptism that puts you into Jesus. And so when Philip got to the baptism part, the eunuch in verse 36 says, "Behold, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Why? If you're saved by faith only, as some denominations teach, and you can be baptized way down the road, why command the chariot to stand still? Because we're not in the body of Christ until we have been baptized into the body of Christ. We're not saved by faith alone. That's why he commanded the chariot to stand still, because we've got to be baptized into Christ. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But what happened before that? "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." If we don't have this confession, we have a question without an answer. There's a question. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's a question. Well, what's the answer to the question? If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now we have two other things. He's Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He's Christ, which means anointed one. And in the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed, and Jesus is our prophet. He speaks God's word. He's our high priest. We have to go through him to get to God. And number three, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And a king rules over us. And then number three, not only is he Lord, and not only is he Christ, but he's Son of God, meaning he's deity. He's the same nature. Carlin is the son of Chris and Sherry. Son of, the same nature from me. Son of God is referring to his deity. Other places he's called Son of Man, which refers to his humanity. Fully man, fully God. When you confess, you say a mouthful. You say what Jesus is to you. The eunuch did it. Peter did it in Matthew 16. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Nathanael did it in John 1:49. Martha did it in John 11:27. Thomas did it in John chapter 20. The question is, will you and I do it? Got all these men and women doing it. Will you and I do it? When you confess, it's what you say that makes it good. There's no greater good than to make Jesus your Lord and Master and your Christ and Son of God. But number three, the confession is the good confession because of how you act. The good confession, brethren and friends, is not just some words we say. There is action that goes with it. Please be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Confession has to be tied to obedience of the gospel. The point being that we do not confess with the mouth only, but with action. And that action is even after our baptism. We need to be confessing this week. And action needs to follow with it even this week. Confession is not just with the lips, but with the life. Let me say that again. Confession is not just with the lips, but with the life. Confession is a turning point statement in which we begin to live a different way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul is commending the Corinthian brethren for their giving, and when they give to the needy brethren in Judea, this is the well-known passage on the collection, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. And when you give to your needy brethren in Judea, it's going to bear some fruit. Look at one thing that's going to happen. Verse 12, for the ministration of this service, that's the giving, not only fills up the measure of the wants of the saints, these needy saints, you're going to help them physically, but abounds also through many thanksgivings unto God. God will be glorified. Look at this. Seeing that through this proving of you, by this ministration, this giving, they, the needy brethren in Judea, they glorify God. Look at this. For the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of their contribution. The Jews, these needy brethren, are going to do two things. They're going to thank God that you obeyed your confession and that you gave to them, that you were liberal. But look at that statement, the obedience of your confession. Look at that. Confession is not just with the lips, it's with the life. We obey what we say. We obey what we believe. We live like it. We talk. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. And that happens sometimes when you're at work and when you're at school and when you are other places and it's crunch time and you've got to stand up for being a Christian, we do that. Confession is not merely words, it's deeds that back up those words. So when we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or that Jesus is Lord and Christ and Son of God, and then I go out and I'm living like He's not my Lord, something's wrong. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, and this is the very thing that we see here. Some people profess, and in our Bibles, the English word profess is actually this same original word for confess. A profession, and we're going to be moving into this idea in just a minute, a profession, how I'm professing to live, sometimes doesn't match up with what I'm saying and what I'm believing. They profess, same word that we've been studying this morning. They profess or they confess that they know God, but by their works they deny Him. So I'm saying I believe that Jesus is Lord, but then I don't go follow His law. We can profess all day long. We can say words all day long. But it's the good confession when we are acting in a way that matches with what we're saying and what we're believing. Let's go out and do that, brethren. And I believe you are. This is the encouragement to keep doing that. So along those lines, turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, where the book of Hebrews is using this word to talk about daily living. Confession is not just something you say right before you're baptized, and then the rest of your life you never do it again. We're to do it every day. And the Hebrew writer uses it in this context of daily confessing and living for Christ. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, Jesus. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. The Hebrew writer is not talking about what you do right before you're baptized. He's talking about our daily life in Christ. And some of them were slipping away from Christ. They're apostatizing. They're falling away. And they're not considering their daily confession and profession to live properly. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. Having then a great high priest, same as chapter 3, verse 1, who has passed through the heavenlies, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast this daily profession of living for Christ and not let it go. Turn with me to chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Look at that statement, that it waver not. Huh. Things in life are going to cause your confession to waver. Doubts, misinformation, worldly pressure, changing your mind, getting out, young people, getting out on your own. That'll do it. When I'm at home, my parents are wanting me to live this way and wanting me to live that way. But now I'm in my 20s and maybe I'm graduating from college. And maybe I'm getting a job and maybe I'm getting married and getting my own apartment or whatever. And I get out on my own and here we go. Starts to waver a little. Well, maybe I don't have to go to church every Sunday like my parents wanted me to. Maybe I don't have to give. Maybe I don't have to read my Bible. Maybe I don't have to pray. And the writer says, hold fast your confession that it waver not, because it can happen. And you know one of the best ways to keep it from wavering is to keep practicing the confession. Confession has actions that go with it. And when we keep that up, those practices, those Christian habits, those Christian practices, even if there is something that gets into our mind where we're questioning this or that, we'll get it worked out. There's nothing wrong with questions. There's nothing wrong. Reggie said this around the Lord's table, that people are going to assail and assault our beliefs and we've got to stand up for what we believe. That's fine. But we're not going to let it waver. And so, brethren, we're going to hold fast this daily, lifelong service to God. There's no greater good than to obey God. And then last of all, number 4, the good confession is good because of to whom you speak, and then in just a moment, what we will get from that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. We do not confess ourselves to other men. We confess ourselves to God. And we give glory to God when we do that. When we become a Christian, 1 Peter 4:16, it's the name Christian that gives glory to God. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, where this word is used. Now, you might have a version this morning that says something along the lines of giving praise to God or giving thanks to God, but it's actually the word confession. Through him, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of lips which make, some versions say thanks or praise, but which make confession to his name. Confession is made to the name of God. We're not talking simply to other men. It is to be before others. And in 1 Timothy 6, our scripture reading, Timothy did it before others, and even Jesus confessed that before Pilate. When Pilate said, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus said, "Thou sayest." We would say, "You're right. Yeah, I am." He said, "Thou sayest." Even Jesus witnessed, that doesn't mean someone was witnessing him. He witnessed. He made the statement. He identified who he was, even before Pilate. Yes, it's public, and others will hear it. But ultimately, we are making confession to his name, to the character and the greatness of God, and there is no greater good than to praise God. Yes, in this context, we use our lips to worship and to praise and to give thanks, but literally it is make confession to His name. And we do that in songs, yes. And we've been doing that this morning. Appreciate Cole leading our singing. All of our men. But we do this even outside the worship service, verse 15, daily. When we talk with others and when we share our Christianity before others. And then, last of all, the good confession is good because of what you and I will receive in the end. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Come judgment day, you're going to want to hear some words. And how you live and how I live in this life will determine what those words are that you're going to hear. You'll either hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Or Matthew 7:23, you will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. The choice is yours. But we're going to hear some words. And what we want to hear is, we want to hear our name confessed before the Father. That this person was baptized into Christ and lived faithfully throughout their life. And come on in. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 to the church at Sardis, he that overcomes all of the problems and pressures and trials of this life, thus will be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Here's what you want to hear in the judgment day. Seth. Seth wants to hear Seth. Don wants to hear Don. That's what you want to hear. Linda wants to hear Linda. When Jesus turns and confesses your name to the Father and before the angels, it makes it all worthwhile. All the sacrifices, all the commitments, all the avoiding of the temptations, or even if we fall and falter, the confession of sin, another topic that I've not discussed today, the other topic of confession in the New Testament is confessing our sins, 1 John 1:7-9. I have sinned. The repentance, the confession of sin, the getting back on track, it's all worth it. The worshiping from week to week, the reading of my Bible, the doing of good works, it's all going to be made worth it when you hear your name. Everybody wants to hear their name. Remember that at graduation, you wanted to hear your name called out? You couldn't wait till your name was called out at graduation. Remember that? Or some award ceremony. Can't wait to hear your name. There's no greater good than to hear our name confessed before the Father and the angels. Brethren, there's a coming judgment day. And Paul says in Romans 14, verses 11 and 12, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There's going to come a day when everyone is going to be forced to confess. But why not make the good confession today while we can do it free and willing? It'll be too late, brethren and friends, in the judgment day to make that good confession. Let's be making it today. But as brethren and as Christians who have already named the name of Christ, let us go out each and every day and confess for Him. Those of you who use social media, confess the name of Christ. And some are using it in a good way, in a very good way, to let other people know about God and Jesus and what's right. If that's your method, use it. And at work and at school and wherever you're at. You confess Jesus. He's your Lord. He's your Christ. He is the divine Son of God. And what a great reward we will receive from that. Now, there's going to be some times where, John 9, there's going to be some times where you or maybe others around you, I don't know if I want to do that. Do it. For fear of the Jews, John said. Fear that, boy, fear is powerful, isn't it? Isn't fear powerful? Whew, it's powerful. Fear can get you to keep quiet. Fear can get you to just stand like a deer in the headlights. We're not going to fear this week. We're not going to fear. Or next week or the week after. We're going to hold our head high and we're going to name Christ. Con, and I'm going to stand with him. And instead of being embarrassed and fearful, have the attitude, I want you to come with me and stand with Christ. Can we have a Bible study? Will you come to church services with me? Can we sit down and talk about, you come stand with me. And be on the offensive that way rather than just being on the defensive. But you come stand with me. And let's serve Christ together. If we can help you this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?